All right, if you got your Bibles tonight, look with me in Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Well, let's begin reading up in verse number 8. The Bible says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." This is Paul speaking. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Brother Adam, would you pray tonight? Yes. Lord, yes. Oh, yes. God bless, we pray. God, touch him, Lord. Yes. God bless him. Help him. Yes. Lord, help us. Yes, it is. Amen. You can be seated. Verse number 10. The Bible says that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection. And here's what I want to preach from tonight, the fellowship of His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. Suffering is kind of like the thoughts of death. We don't like to think about it, and we certainly don't like to suffer. But we go through life and we do suffer. And there may be somebody that you know that's suffering something right now. Maybe you're suffering tonight with some ailment or some heartache or some different type thing. But tonight I want to preach from that thought of the fellowship of His sufferings and preach on this subject, the schooling of suffering. Anybody in here like school? Yeah, there's a principal back there. She loves it. Well, I never did like school a whole lot. But what I want to talk about tonight is how the Lord sends us to school through suffering. God always has something to teach us. You know, well, why suffering? Well, Christ suffered. Are we any better than Him? He suffered tremendously as He journeyed through this life for my sake and for your sake. So we can learn some things about the Bible tonight and about suffering. You know, you can go all the way back to Genesis, from Adam and Eve until our present time now. Man has always suffered things. Since the fall of man, we've been in a state, friend, of different sufferings as we go through life. Jesus said, "In this life you shall have tribulation." Peter says that your faith is going to be tried. It's different. You know, God's going to put us in a test at times to see, to let us see what kind of faith we've got and how much we're trusting in Him. We go through life, there's going to be tragedies that it might come to our house. It might be our neighbor's house or one of our relatives' house, friend. You notice that in the Bible, how Cain rose up and slew Abel way back in the beginning, friend. Tragedies is, is happening every day all around us. All you got to do is listen to the news or read the paper. You see a lot of tragedies. Paul, he had a thorn in the flesh. And he was one of the greatest men that ever, greatest preachers that ever walked the face of this earth. So we know that God sends different things into our life and we can learn from them. But a lot of times, our trouble is a lot of times when trouble comes our way, we want to say, why me, Lord? And you know what trouble will do? Sometimes it'll turn you away from God. The devil will use it to attack your faith. That's what he wanted to do with Job, isn't it? He wanted to drive him away from God, but Job refused to turn his back on God, the source of his help and the source of his hope. Jeremiah, he's the prophet of tears. Hey, he was God's man, but he's known for being the weeping prophet. And let me tell you something, friend. Weeping may endure for the night, but there's joy that's coming in the morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you might be facing tomorrow, friend. But there's going to be some suffering. If we live a normal life, friend, sometime or another, there's going to be some suffering that'll come your way, that'll come my way as we journey through this life. But God has given us His Word right here. There's things in here that we can prepare for it, friend. We can expect it to come our way and we can learn from it. God was going to send us to school through sufferings as we go through this life. I want you to notice something. An old poem that I found as I was studying. A poem says, "Not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the heavenly land. We'll know the reason of our tears, and there someday we'll understand. So trust in God through all thy days. Fear not, for He doth hold thy hand. Though dark the way, still sing and praise. Someday, someday we'll understand." You ever been in a situation where you just didn't understand why God is just letting this happen to me? Why God has let it happen to one of our loved ones or whatever? Friend, there's a lot of questions that we'll ask as we go through this life of why. But we can learn. We can learn some things. First of all, I want you to notice tonight, friend, there's the mystery of suffering. The mystery of suffering. Now, it's no mystery that people are suffering. But a lot of times to us, if it comes our way, we want to say, why me, Lord? Why me? Why is this happening at my house, Lord? Why have you allowed this to happen? And God does allow things to happen. God, nothing has taken the Lord by surprise. He knows all things. And the devil can't do anything. Nothing will come your way except it goes through the mind and hands of Almighty God. He knows all about the things that we face. First of all, let's look at the purpose of suffering. In Romans chapter 8, you all know this verse well, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. We all know that verse right there. But when we read that, friend, we know that all things, that's good things and bad things, that can work together for our good if we're called according to His purpose, if we love Him as we should. Even when something bad comes our way, friend, we ought to look, we ought to yield to God and lean upon God and trust in God and look for God to work good out of it because He can do it. And that's what He wants to do. But all notice not only the purpose in this mystery of our suffering, but this predetermined. Notice in the very next verse in Romans 8:29 what he says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. God is wanting to make us like Christ. And let me tell you something, friend. Christ suffered as he went through this life, friend. He suffered, he suffered, he suffered, friend. And God has got some things out there that we may have to go through, friend, before we become conformed to the image and the likeness of his Son. You know why? Suffering will bring you to your knees. Suffering will make you call upon God. Suffering will knock pride out from under you. Suffering has got its perfect work in you, friend. And God knows just exactly what we need in our life. There's things, friend, that's predetermined in our life. Notice this in Hebrews chapter number 2. what the Bible says about Christ in Hebrews 2 and 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, look, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And he goes on and he says this, for it became him for whom all things, whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through sufferings. Sufferings. Friend, there's a penalty for sin, and Christ paid that penalty through His suffering, through His sacrifice on Calvary. So, in our purpose, friend, if God is working in our life, don't be surprised if He brings some suffering in your life to make you more conformable to His Son. Because He'll do it. He'll do it. Not only, friend, in this mystery of suffering, the purpose, the predetermination of it, but the performance of it. In Philippians chapter 1, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. Friend, when we think about that good work, friend, we don't associate it oftentimes with suffering. But let me tell you, friend, he makes people suffer a lot of times to bring out the good in them. You believe that? He does. Oh, I think about a time in my life. There was a time in my life when I was about 30 years old. This side of my face got to tingling. It got numb. So I go to the doctor. He doesn't know what it is. He sends me to Atlanta to a neurologist. And he does all his tests and stuff. He didn't know what it was. He sent me to Georgia Baptist. They did all kind of tests there. They couldn't figure out what it was. They sent me to Emory. They did a bunch of tests there. Still couldn't figure out what it was. I went to one more place. I don't forget what it was. But they wound up sending me back to the neurologist. You know what he said? He said, I tell you what, we don't know what it is, but we can go in there and we can get on this nerve and follow it into your brain and we can figure out what it is. He said, or you can live with it. I said, well, I believe I'll just live with it. But you know what? It was a trial of my faith. It was a test for me. And through it, friend, my faith was strengthened. You see, I had to rely on God. I couldn't rely on the doctors. They could do nothing. But I had a God in heaven that knew all about it because He's the one that put it there for me to lean upon Him, for me to call upon Him, and He helped me. Still got it today. That's been a while. But I've learned to live with it. Seldom ever even think about it. But God will do things in your life. He's going to perform things in your life. And suffering is a part of it. Suffering is part of it. But then there's not only in this mystery, friend, there's the providence. The providence in this mystery. Look at the story of Lazarus. Martha and Mary. The Bible says that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And they sent for him. Lazarus got sick. And for 2 days, Jesus did nothing. He didn't do anything. I imagine when Lazarus was laying sick on the bed there and they had sent for Jesus, he was probably watching the door to see when Jesus was going to come in and help him. But he didn't show up. And I imagine Martha and Mary kept a looking, wondering, well, we sent for him. He's our friend. Why ain't he coming? And then when Jesus showed up 4 days late, the very first thing that they said to him, Martha said, well, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. When he saw Mary, the same thing. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus was working for God's glory. He worked through suffering and he worked through death to bring honor and glory to God. He's going to do that in our life too. The providence of God. See, what you don't need to forget, when things start going bad in your life, when tragedy comes, when suffering comes, when trouble comes, friend, oh, listen, don't wonder where God's at. He's right in the midst of it. He's working. He may cause you to suffer or me to suffer to get to somebody that's close to me. He may make me suffer to make me wake up. But He'll work in your life with suffering. I'm talking about the schooling of suffering or the seminary of suffering. Let's raise it to a higher level. The seminary of suffering is something we need to learn and we need to expect in our lives, friend. And there's an attitude that we ought to have. Look in Philippians chapter number 1. Let this attitude be in you and I. In verse number 29, he says, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but to also suffer for His sake." To suffer for His sake. You know, there's many types of suffering, not just sickness, not just heartache. It could be persecution. It could be afflictions. They'd be adversity to come our way in many different ways. But the Bible says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." So don't ever forget that, friend. We need to have the right attitude when suffering comes our way. The mystery of suffering. Secondly, the molding of suffering. The molding of suffering. God is a hands-on God. He'll run your hand in your life or run His hand in your life to get you straightened out, to get you molded and made into what He wants you to be. We can be bullheaded or we can yield to Him. Notice this, friend. The preparing of a garden. Anybody in here have a garden? There's a few of you. We're going to starve to death one of these days. We don't learn how to plant a garden. Piggly Wiggly's going to run out one of these days. Listen, friend. One of the first things you'll do in preparing a garden is go to plowing, isn't it? Over in the book of Hosea, the Lord made this statement. Break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. You know what? That fallow ground was idle ground. Unplowed ground. It was crusted ground. It was hardened. Oh, listen to me. It was infested ground. Weeds, insects, things like that. It's necessary. If you're going to plant a garden, you don't just go out and throw seeds on the ground, do you? No. You're going to starve to death. But if you get out and you really work hard in preparing that ground, you go to plowing it. You go to breaking up the clods in it. You go to cutting through it and making it soft and making it pliable that the seed that's planted there can come up and yield fruit. That's kind of like our life is, friend. Our life is like a garden that God is working, friend. If we get hardened, if we get idle, friend, God's going to come in and He's going to put the plow down in your life, in my life, and He's going to go to breaking up that fallow ground that's got crusted over, that's gotten idle, that's gotten hardened, that's got infested with the things of this world, friend. He knows how to put the plow down and break it up. You better know He'll do it too. I'm talking about the molding of suffering, the preparing of a garden, but then there's the perfecting of gold. Job spoke about it. He said, "He knoweth the way that I taketh, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Let me tell you what he's talking about, friend. He said, "He knoweth the way that I take." Hey, a lot of times we don't know the way that God has planned out for us. But He knows all about it, and He'll put you in a trial, friend, that you can come out better than when you went in. Job could have thrown in the towel many times. Job could have turned his back on God many times. He could have run out on God, friend, but he didn't do it. He stuck with God. He said, "Though He slay me, yet will I serve Him." And I worked in a dental lab for 42 years now, and one of the things that we work with is gold. You know, if we got this casting machine. We wind that thing up and we put gold in this crucible. We light a torch. We put that torch to that gold to melt it. You know what happens when you melt that gold? Every time you melt gold, there'll be some impurities that'll come to the top. And you know what you can do? You can take your hand and you can beat on that thing a little bit. You can bump it around a little bit, friend, and shake it around. That gold will move and them impurities will go to the side. But when you got that gold just right, friend, it'll be like a mirror on top, friend. That's what God is doing in our life sometimes. He'll put the fire to us sometimes. He'll set a fire in our life, friend, that He might burn out the impurities in our life. And don't tell me you ain't got any impurities in your life, friend. Hey, there's nobody that don't need to go through the fire sometimes, that God can do His perfect work in our life. And He'll sure put you in the fire. Just like He'll plow up your garden, friend. He'll bust up some things. He'll set a fire down at your house. Not only the preparing of a garden, the perfecting of gold, but the potter's gold. You remember back over in Jeremiah chapter number 18, how God sent Jeremiah down to the potter's house. And when he got there, he said the potter was doing a work on a wheel. And the clay that he was working with there, friend, it become marred. And what did he do? He didn't throw it away. No, he wrought a new work on it, friend. And he made it just exactly what he wanted it to be. A vessel that he was pleased with. You know what God will do in our life, friend? He'll put you on the wheel sometimes. He'll have you a spinning, friend, and He'll have His hands all over you, molding you and making you into what? A vessel that He can use. You ought to thank God for it. Oh, when you're going through these things in life, look to the Lord. When you're suffering many different things in life, look and ask God. Seek and try to find out what God's doing in your life. He's working in our lives, friend, to make better persons out of us. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Hebrews 12. Make that verse number 11. Notice this. He says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, or no infliction of pain seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." It's not fun to suffer. I had never been to a hospital bed when somebody was sick and hurting and they say, "Boy, this is great." But what he says right here, friend, it may be grievous now, but if you'll trust in God, if you'll lean on God, there's something good will come out of it. He's exercising you through suffering, trying to bring out the peaceable fruit of righteousness in your life. A lot of times, that's what He's doing in our life. Not only the mystery of suffering, the molding of suffering, but lastly this, the ministry of suffering. Think about this now. If we understand why God lets us suffer, if we can understand why God's molding us through suffering, it's to get us to a place of ministry. Ministering to the suffering people. Have you ever seen anybody that's going through something and you've never been in it? You've never experienced what they're going through. But somebody else comes along that has been in the same situation. They're able to offer more comfort than you. They may be able to give more answers than you and help that person. God will put you through some things, friend, that you might minister to others in need. And we need each other, don't we? Amen. God is working in your life. God is working in my life to use us in the ministry. And there is a ministry of suffering, because as we go through life, suffering is nothing new. Suffering is nothing strange. But God wants us to be able to minister to those who are suffering and who are in need, friend. There's people that needs help's report. This is help right here. The Word of God. What God has promised. What God has said. We ought to be able to take this book right here to somebody that's hurting and offer help to them. through the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Not only helps report, but hopes revived. People that are suffering get down, don't they? That's just human. That's just human nature. If somebody is suffering, it's easy to get down. But listen, friend, it's up to us as God's children, as ministers of this suffering, friend, to be able to go out and help revive hope in somebody. Amen? And there is hope in Christ. He knows what we're going through. He ever cares for us, friend. And He tells us to cast all our cares upon Him. Hope's revived and happiness renewed. Listen, friend, we've got something to offer people today that Dr. Phil and Oprah hadn't got what we've got. We've got joy unspeakable and full of glory, friend. Have you ever seen somebody that was on their deathbed and was able to look up toward heaven and put a smile out and realize where they was going and where they was headed to a better place? Hey, that's the kind of happiness that we've got, friend. We've got joy unspeakable and full of glory, friend. And we can share it with somebody that's a hurting, can't we? I remember I was in a nursing home up yonder visiting my mother a few years ago. And, you know, there's a lot of pitiful folks in nursing homes. And seemed like the hall's just lined up with little old ladies in wheelchairs and men here and there. And I was going in one day, and there was a little old lady. Well, she didn't look like she weighed 70 pounds. She was just bent over in a wheelchair. And she was singing a song, though, an old gospel song, how the old Red Book hymnal. She'd sing a little bit, then she'd lift her head up without even opening her eyes. And she'd say, "Lord," I remember these words. She said, "Lord, I can't play the piano like I used to could, but I still want to serve You." And she said, "Lord, listen now. I'm talking about an old lady couldn't even get out of the wheelchair. She said, "Lord, I got some grandchildren I sure do wish You'd save." And I just stopped there as I listened to her. She'd pray a little bit. Then she'd sing a little bit. Then she'd stop and she'd pray again. Boy, she ministered something to me that I'll never forget. Even though she was afflicted, even though she was suffering, she was still serving God. She still had a story to tell. And she helped me as I walked through the halls that day. I went in another day up there and walked in the door. And there was probably five or six wheelchairs kind of circled around there. And this little old lady was right in the midst of them. And when I walked by, she said, "We got to serve Jesus every day." She was telling the story to them, friend. And she was excited about Jesus. And she was still pressing on, like Paul said, and doing all she could do up there in that nursing home for the Lord. Went in up there another day and walked by her room, and the bed was empty. I asked my mother, I said, "Where'd that little old lady go?" "She went out to meet the Lord last night. And her journey was over. But boy, she was faithful through it to the end." And we can be that kind of person. Listen, there's people needing help, needing hope, needing happiness. There's people that needs heaven. We've got something to offer. We've got hope. We've got help. We've got riches that only heaven can offer. Ministering in suffering. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, let's read these verses here. I want you to see this. Paul says this in chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Listen to this. who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. As Christ ministers to us, as He comforts us through our sufferings, He expects us to go out to be His hands and His feet, carrying comfort and help to those others that's suffering around us in life. We need each other, don't we? God's going to send us to school through suffering as we go through life. Hey, you ever flunk a class in school? I flunked one class in school. Y'all know what it was? Speech. I hated so much to get up in front of people. I hated it. I was so shy. I just took a lot of bad grades to keep from getting up in front of folks. But listen, friend, let's don't flunk out in this course right here. You know why? If you fail it, you got to take it over. Amen? If you fail it, you got to take it over, don't you? Amen. Stand with me.